Can't you do what these have done? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Statues, images, prayers, novenas, litany, relics, feast days, so many ways the Church offers to all faithful to have recourse to the saints. They are, in our Catholic culture and in Catholic society, overly present. Street names on official buildings, sport jerseys, the saints, food brands, in our very own names most of the time. And yet saints are too often forgotten, ignored, or reduced to some distant and mysterious figures or heroes. That lucky star far up high in the sky. Good and useful, as some would say, simply for these old grumpy ladies coming to church, piously kissing or touching the foot of one of these timeless statues in the hope of getting something from them. Devotion to the saints continues to raise many questions, either among Catholics or among our detractors of the Catholic faith. What kind of cult to the saints is allowed in the Church? What difference with mythology or polytheism? As if these were gods or semi-gods. Are they models of perfection, impossible for the rest of us to imitate, and simply there as a source of edification? Are these considerations today purely idealistic, an utopia, or on the contrary, a universal and individual call to which I have to respond? First, saints are not gods, obviously, but persons who lived a righteous life and are now certainly enjoying eternal beatitude in God. During their lives, they have proven fidelity and love towards Him and have lived a life of sacrifice for the sake of their own souls and the souls entrusted to their care. We honor the saints. It is an honor paid to them which includes veneration and invocation. We venerate them inasmuch as they have shown a path which led them to heaven. They deserve our praises because of the virtues they practiced in a heroic way. We venerate them because we see in them examples that we want to imitate. Lives that oftentimes are too similar to ours in the imperfections and difficulties they had in common with us. We respect their memory because we see in their lives many comparisons with our own lives. And we ask for the grace to follow in return their footsteps, which isn't the case when we adore, when we worship God. And the word is different, as you know, latria in Latin. Not as a simple, respectful, and edifying memory, but for the saints it's called dulia. Different, this is this simple, respectful, edifying memory. But for God it is a humble submission and adoration, since no comparison with Him is possible. And so subtle distinction between latria, worship of God, and dulia, veneration of the saints. Distinction misunderstood by Protestants, but of course with many very important consequences for our detractors. When we pay the saints the homage of our veneration, it is God, God alone and His Son, our Lord, whom we really honor and revere in them. Saints, my dear friends, were not perfect. Saints were not irreproachable, except Our Lady, because of a special and unique grace which God alone has the right to grant. Think of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, known as a child for her pretty choleric and unstable temperament. Dads, think of Saint Jerome, who was forced to stay in a grotto. Ladies, do not send your husband to the basement of the house. Saint Jerome, who was forced to stay in a grotto to work on the Bible because of his many, many outbursts of anger. Saint Francis de Sales, who fell into a deep crisis of despair, and he's now known as the doctor of the love of God, and even once miraculously healed from that crisis of despair as a young student in Paris, he had the temptation later to abandon his diocese. Think of the great Saint Paul, who said of himself, "It is not the good my will prefers, but the evil my will disapproves that I find myself doing." So obviously they were not perfect. And here lies our lack of understanding of sainthood. But they have been declared by a solemn act and a definitive and irrevocable sentence, members of the celestial court, and that their memory should be kept with pious devotion by the universal church. And why? Because they persevered. Because they prayed and abandoned themselves to the goodwill of God, living a virtuous life heroically. In the first centuries of church history, martyrs were considered the only saints because of their heroic virtues, especially at the hour of their cruel death. Once persecution stopped, the church had to decide on the fate of those many souls who had also practiced heroic virtues, shown heroic virtues, but had not been put to death for their faith, as martyrs did. And so from this theological question was born the cult of the saints, which then developed over centuries, and now with the canonical rules for the cause of canonization. So as we said, they are also models, or typos in Greek, types, of the one prototype, images or reflections of the one original and perfect image, Christ in his blessed humanity. Typos, or tupos in Greek, which means an image or a model, and prototypos, the firstborn, the perfect image from which all others are but imperfect copies. Model, in Latin modellus, which means a certain measure, a certain standard which we should conform ourselves to. We know that we can characterize saints with a particular virtue. For instance, St. Francis de Sales for his meekness, St. Benedict for his piety, St. Thomas Aquinas for his wisdom and intelligence. So many saints then can be invoked in our lives to acquire particular virtues according to particular difficulties or events in our lives, as so many beautiful facets of the same beautiful and precious diamond. Our own patron saint, either from our baptism, your Christian baptism name, or your confirmation saint, should hold a place of honor in your lives, seeing in the choice made of them on our behalf a providential arrangement. What is a saint other than a creature entirely devoted to his Creator? Wrote a great preacher, Bossuet, preacher of the 17th century. If we look at a saint on earth, he is a man. a man who recognizing how nothing he is in himself, also humbles himself to nothingness to give glory to his author. And if we look at a saint in heaven now, he is a man who barely feels himself, so possessed he is of God and so lost in his glory. And so we are asked, can't you do what these have done? Can't you do what these have done? Wonders the great St. Augustine. Certainly we can. The spiritual warfare is the same. Human nature remains the same. Passions, as far as I know, have not changed in men. Temptations are the same because luckily the author of these temptations remained the same. The weapons are the same. The help given is the same, and so we can conclude that the victory can and should be the same. Perfection consists essentially in the love of God and of our neighbor, carried unto sacrifice. The sole motive that guided their lives was the love of God. This love was the fuel, the fire that gave them the strength and courage to do everything for his love and glory. And a spiritual author sums it all. He says, to want to love is already to love. To want to love is to love. To keep the commandments for God's sake is to love. To pray is to love. To fulfill our duties of state in view of pleasing God, this is likewise to love. Even more, to recreate ourselves, to take our meals with the like intention, is to love. To serve our neighbor for God's sake is to love. Nothing then is easier, God's grace helping, than the constant exercise of divine love. And through this, steady advance toward perfection. So once again, can't you do what these have done? Yes, you can, and yes, you must. Not by yourself, not solely with your imperfect and weak efforts, but with confidence and trust in the help of God, and with the intercession of the divine court of countless angels and saints. No later, not tomorrow, but now. Carpe diem. All familiar with this expression, carpe diem. Seize the day, because time is short, life is feeble, and tomorrow will sound the hour of our death and judgment, as we will meditate and contemplate the feast of tomorrow. O you angels, you archangels, you thrones, you dominions and principalities and powers, you mighty ones of the heavens, you cherubim and seraphim, O you patriarchs and prophets, you holy teachers of the law, O you apostles, O all of you martyrs of Christ, you holy confessors, you virgins of the Lord, you hermits, O all of you holy children of God, make intercession for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.